Welcome, 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 and good morning, everyone. And good morning to you who are out there with us, touching and agreeing with our spirit, sharing your light, your love, your consciousness with us. We see you, and I'm talking to your souls and spirits, knowing that you are joining us in this high watch, keeping the high watch. But yes, we're keeping the high watch. That's the thing I love about energy. That there's nothing that can stop the movement of spirit. There's no physical barrier, you know, that can do it. So we feel your love, and we appreciate you being with us this morning. I also just can feel, I love also being in the room. I love being in the house where I can feel your vibration. So I thank all of you for being here this morning as well. As a matter of fact, Spirit said, why don't you stand up and give yourselves a wonderful round of applause, a thank you. Yes. Give yourselves a standing ovation. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sometimes you have to give yourself a standing ovation, right? We don't have to wait for everybody else to do it. Sometimes we have to take care of self and honor self. So I thank you all for being here this morning. You know, I'm always in prayer for all of us, for us individually, and I'm praying for us collectively, you know, as a church, as a community, as a people on the planet. And my prayer is that I hope that you're still holding up very well, in spite of everything that is taking place, you know, in our nation. There's a lot of violence. There's hatred. There's harm. Lines are being drawn and lines are being crossed. Division is established and yet sides are taking place. People are awakening. And also people are numbing out. Because it feels like it might be too much. Propaganda is being spread more than ever before in this nation. And yet truths are also being told. So we have this dichotomy that, you know, the yin and the yang, it's all front and center. We're experiencing it all. We're seeing it all. We're having to perhaps make a choice as to where we stand on any particular issue. And if you're paying attention, all of this, and I pay attention, I don't look at the necessarily what they call corporate news anymore because I feel it's been compromised. But I go online and I have my sites that I use and find that I feel are giving me a good report of what is happening in the nation. So I keep up with all of it. But if you're paying attention, you know that all of this can be overwhelming. It can really be overwhelming and quite frightening, too. I mean, there are times when I have to just shut it all down and shut it all off. Because every day, every day there are orders, executive orders being given that are eroding our democracy. And we're not even aware of them because you can't keep up with all of them. But every day, something is being taken away. Something is being put in place that will be to the detriment of the American people. And so keeping up with all of it is a challenge, and it can be frightening, and it can be heartbreaking. This is heartbreaking for me that I'm living in a time where I'm getting to see the de-evolvement, not only of our democracy, but of the spiritual and human values and beliefs and ideologies that honor and lift up all humanity. That in the place of compassion, cruelty is seen as something to be lauded. That instead of helping the stranger or the sick or those in need, it is stripping away of anything that would give them any sense of dignity and provision. There's something deeply, deeply morally wrong with this nation right now. And so, yeah, I'm looking at all of it. And I'm thinking there are actually people, and not just a little bit of people, but there are a lot of people who are praising and espousing the principles of racism, white supremacy, misogyny, Christian nationalism, bigotry, and all forms of othering. If you don't look like a particular a set of this nation, you are othered, you are devalued, you are expendable, you are deportable, right? All of this othering. And even those, what is so heartbreaking for me, is that those people who are espousing these ideologies and holding on to them are actually lifting them up as if it is something to be honored. That even a individual who held the majority, most of these things, racism, white supremacy, misogyny, that this individual who truly died a tragic death, but yet is being now considered to be a martyr for the cause, held up as some kind of positive example. And I was thinking, I said, you know, our truth principles, as within, so without. This person died by the way he lived, died by what he held in his heart and held in his consciousness, right? Hatred, separation, violence, dehumanizing a whole group of people, putting forth rhetoric that is not joining and lifting up, but separating. And those very energies are the energies that he was able to reap. Because we know in truth, as within, what? So without. The consciousness that we hold in our hearts are going to find their way somehow into our life experience. Good for the good or for the ill. So we have to look at ourselves and our hearts and see, what is it that I am putting forth? What is it that I am standing on? And I just was wondering to myself, when is enough going to be enough? When will there be a line that, if crossed, will cause people, the majority of people, to say, you know what? This is a point that has gone too far. This place, this is a situation that is too much to bear. This is a level that is far too great for us, and we must say no more, no more. Have you ever gotten to the point in your life where you had to say, you know what, no more, no more? Now, I have a high tolerance, but when I get to that point of when I'm saying no more, you better believe it's done. I mean, no more. Because I give people to a fault second and third and fourth chances. I give myself all these chances. But there is a time when the soul of our being has to say no more. And the soul of this nation has to reach a point, and I say soon, Lord, soon, where we say no more, no more. You have to understand at some point that it's okay to say, I will not stand for this, or I will not have this happen in my space, in my life, in my community, in my nation, in the world. No, I will not stand for this. It's like we have to reach a tipping point. I said there's a metaphor of Charlie Kirk's program or organization called The Turning Point. And I'm thinking about that, and I said, we need a tipping point. Because the tipping point is when we have had enough, that we will stand and take charge and put forth a higher world order that will work for the highest good of all. So do you have a tipping point in your own life that if you are pushed too far, that will take you completely out of yourself, completely out of your kind, loving, and accepting self, and tip you over into a self that nobody really wants to see or experience, right? And so this is important for us. And while I could go on and talking about what I feel in the outer, I really, about all the ills of our nation, I really want to talk about what is taking place within us. I'm concerned about our inner capacity, to handle and to relate to and deal with everything that is taking place, but from a higher position, from a more spiritual and moral standpoint. I'm concerned about that, and I'm concerned about how these outer conditions may be affecting our sense of well-being. Because it's very important for us to understand how to take care of our souls, how to take care of our consciousness, how to take care of our being. So I want to continue with the series that I had started titled Spiritual Laws for Inner Well-Being. Because it's important at this time that we do that. After all, if it's not well with our souls, then it's hard to make changes for the good of all. Right? If we're not solid inside, it's hard for us to make good choices for others and for the soul of the nation. So with that being said, I want us to take a moment to concentrate on our inner capacity, our inner world, our inner sense of state of being. So I want to talk about boundaries. Do you have any?
Yes.
Okay, good. Boundaries. And what's the spiritual benefit of having boundaries, and what's the effect of having boundaries to your sense of well-being and or not having them to the detriment of your own sense of well-being? Now, I'm going to admit that it's very, very difficult for me to put forth boundaries without feeling a sense of guilt or fear of judgment or that I'm being selfish, right? I feel bad when I have to say no, because I think if I say no, then somebody's not going to love me, they're not going to like me, and, you know, they'll place me in the category and judge me for doing so and for saying no. But sometimes no is a complete sentence. Sometimes you have to say no. So I know I feel bad about putting myself or my own needs out there first. You know, if I have to place my needs first, I feel like I'm being selfish. And part of my training, part of my nature is that I think I must always put everybody else first. I've always been like that, even as a child. I'm always concerned. And even though I had like an older brother, whatever, I took care of him. That was just my nature. I'm that middle child, but I take care of everything, you know. And to the degree where I entered into a field where now I feel responsible for taking care of everybody. You know? And so I do this, but I am also realizing this might not be the healthiest place to operate from or to live from. And so I'm finally beginning to realize that I got to put the oxygen mask on me first. Because if I don't, I'm not going to be able to really help others. And that I have to get to a place where I'm finally understanding that it is actually healthy. It is healthy to honor and to value my own needs and to see my needs as being worthy of my own respect and self-respect. Because how could I ask somebody to offer self-respect or respect to me when I don't have respect for myself, for my own being, and my sense of well-being? So, you know, I have to really begin to look in, and I'm starting to, and it took me a long time, a long number of years. I've been on the planet now for a few decades, but I'm finally getting it. I've had some wake-up calls where I'm understanding that, girl, if you don't hone into yourself and what it is that you need to take care of your physical, mental, emotional well-being, you are not going to last very long. You know, so I'm finally getting it. And I have to really begin to, with all this that has taken place, I'm beginning to ask myself, what is it that I stand for? You know, we say we have beliefs and values, but what do you stand for in this life? Because you've all heard the old saying that if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything, right? So I don't want to fall for stuff, for everything. Well, what is it that I stand for? I need to be clear with that. And I need to also be clear if what I say I stand for, is it in alignment with my spiritual beliefs and my spiritual approach to life? Because that's my measuring stick. That's my bottom line. If it's not measuring up to my spiritual belief, then why am I doing it? So I want to be able to say, well, what is it that I stand for? And are my beliefs and are my values, are they connected and aligned with my spiritual values? Because I think if people had that litmus test, although some people's spiritual beliefs are a little off kilter, I don't want to, you know, name names, because, you know, for me, they're confusing their religious beliefs with their spiritual beliefs. Because if it's spiritual, it must include the whole. If it is spiritual, it must speak to the universal good of everyone. Now, if it's religious, you can then confine it and you can say, well, it's only, I'm going to do only what is good for my people or this. I can exclude those people, or I don't have to, you know, love those people. I can only love my own. And if they look like this, this is what God is telling me. You have a narrow view of what God would be expecting of us. But when you're spiritual, you have to have a broader view of what the divine is saying and requesting of us as living beings and living souls upon the planet. Because God created what? Every living thing. Every living person. And so therefore, I cannot say that I am for you or against you and for me and not for you. No. The scripture said that God is what? Love. And anyone and who does not love God, it says what? They do not know God. So don't tell me that you have a, quote, a nationalistic or a view of Christianity that says you have the right to exclude other human beings, that you have the right to bring harm to other living beings. No. You can't serve God and mammon. That's what you're trying to do. And so I've got to get clear, and we all have to get clear. Part of me has been saying, Spirit's putting it on my heart. You remember we did our Stand Up for Humanity. And part of me wants to say, I think we need to stand up also for Christianity, because it's being used and taken totally out of context. Totally out of context. So it's being hijacked, and I want to know, well, I know where the Christian nationalists are who think that this is a nation simply for Christians, and their view of Christianity makes me think they serving a different God than I'm serving. But where are the other? Where are my fellow Christian, you know, theologians and ministers who are not standing up and speaking against this kind of rhetoric that would cause people to believe that if you serve the poor, if you visit the, you know, person in prison, and you welcome the stranger, you do all the things that Jesus the Christ prompted us to do, that if you do those things, that somehow you're in the wrong. You're missing the point. And I often say, you know, if Jesus walked the face of the earth today, there would be those, they would string them up again. So where is it that people are standing for? And what are we standing for? You know, is it acceptable? What is acceptable to me and what is not acceptable to me? Will I take a stand? Will I stand up? Will I stand down? Because sometimes you stand down, you back away, but sometimes I'm standing 10 toes down, which means I ain't going nowhere. What am I standing upon and what am I standing for? Am I standing upon my truth and my principles, which means I apply them for me and I must apply them for you? Or will I speak up for myself? Because if I speak up for myself, will I speak up for others? If I speak up for myself and I don't speak for you, then am I on the right course? What are my boundaries? Where am I? And this is the time that we got to make some of these decisions, because stuff is getting real. So it may have to come down to making some real tough decisions for yourself and for your family and for your friends and for your neighbors and for the strangers. Right? We've got to this is where the rubber is meeting the road. So I wanted to take a look at boundaries and some of the benefits of them. What are the benefits of having boundaries in our relationships, in the relationship to our sense of well-being, so that we can become clear within ourselves, clear about ourselves, which makes it easier for me to be clear when I interact with you. So let's start. We got to start with self. Everything always begins with self, yes? Yeah, we begin with self. So I said, let me go to ChatGP, and see what they say about boundaries. And it says, having boundaries is paramount to self-care. If you don't have boundaries, you're going to set yourself up to be in a world of trouble, right? So it's tantamount to self-care. And it says, having personal boundaries ensures that you prioritize your physical, emotional, and mental health, which, of course, allows you to take care of yourself effectively. So having personal boundaries ensures that you're going to prioritize your physical, mental, emotional needs and your health and your well-being, your state of being. I've got to prioritize myself and my life. That means I have to recognize when I'm overwhelmed and do something about it. I have to recognize that I might have to say no to certain things. And I might have to recognize and realize that if I'm saying no, it's okay because I cannot be all things to all people. Amen. Right? If I try to be good for everybody, I will be good for nobody, including myself. So I have to recognize this. I've got to prioritize so that I can maintain my own physical, emotional, and mental state of well-being. What is important to me? What is of value to me? I've got to choose. Is it important for me to do this or this? If I can't do them both, where do I stand? And we might have to make some hard choices for ourselves. But ones that include and start with our own well-being and that it's okay to do that. And I'm getting better at that. You know, I don't know why it is that I feel so bad if I have to say no to someone, you know? But I'm learning that it's okay to do so. And that, you know what, whether I fear being judged, I'm going to be judged anyway. People are going to judge you whether you're good to them. You could fall all over them. They're going to have something to say about what you did or didn't do. They're going to judge you anyway. So, oh, okay. Why fear that? When I'm clear as to who I am, I will fear no man. Right? When you're clear, I don't have to live in fear. As long as I'm right with God in my mind and consciousness and standing on the faith that I know, then, you know, if you miss me and miss out on me, that's your fault. Too bad. You know, it's okay because I cannot please everybody. I've tried being a people pleaser and it doesn't really work. So I'm learning and I'm growing. And I have to distinguish that if I say no to something or someone, I have to make the distinction, is it a healthy? Am I actually harming somebody when I say no? And most of the time, we're not harming anybody. It's okay to say no. But in my head, oh, they're going to, you know, miss this or I won't get that. No, you have to make the distinction. Is my saying no really, you know, harming somebody? And there are times when I cannot say no. When it would be detrimental, not just to me, but to somebody else. If you have a child and the child is hungry and needs to be fed, you don't want to say no, right? You got to, even if you say, I don't feel like doing that, I'm tired, and they're 3 years old, you get up and you do that. You cannot say no. So we got good sense. We can make the distinction if my no is truly going to harm somebody. And most of the time it's not. Except for maybe when we are responsible for other lives, then we must consider. But in the meantime, you know, get used to making sure that you understand your own inner sense of well-being, you know, and be aware of when you feel like you're being drained physically, mentally, emotionally. Be aware of that and then take action. What do you need to do for yourself? If it's at work, if you're being overloaded at work, do you need to make a decision as to this is what I can do, this is what I can't do? But being aware of that is important. Having boundaries has so many benefits. Another benefit is that if you are in a relationship, and here's the ironic part, we're always in relationship to somebody or something, right? It could be your boss and you, the neighbor, your friend, your partner, your child, whatever. The grocery person who bags your groceries. We're in relationship to others at all times. And so because we are in this crucial connection to another, having boundaries for our relationships can be very, very healing and very healthy for us so that we can avoid misunderstandings and conflict and extraneous stuff that we really don't need. So you can even keep it easier when you're in relationship and something is not right. You can simply say, look, you know what? This is what is important to me. Letting the other person know what you value, what is important to you. Because sometimes I might not know that that's something that's important to you. And I might be willing to then accommodate you or to make whatever changes. So we could say things like, you know, this is important to me and this is what I need. This is what I need at this moment. This is what I need in this relationship. This is what I need in this experience. And to be able to voice what you need. Because when we don't do that, then we become passive aggressive. We're going to try to get our needs met, but I'm not going to tell you I'm trying to get my needs met. I'm going to try to come around here and come, you know, and it creates more of a problem or a hassle than actually being open and responsible and connection, saying, you know, I love you, but this is what I need in this relationship. This is what will work for me. What about you? Having that conversation is very important. And the thing I want us to remember is that when we are in relationship and we're trying to get our needs met and have our needs understood, and maybe even some of our expectations, well, this is what I expect. This is another big one, expectations. Because if nobody knows what you expect, we judge people because they didn't meet our expectation. But yet we never told them what we expected from them. I expect you to get it by osmosis. If you love me, you would know what I need. No, we're not mind readers. So I don't know you have this expectation or this is what you value. And so I'm just interacting. And yet you might not know what I need and what I expect and what I value. So having these conversations is extremely important when we're in relationship with others. You know, knowing your negotiables and your non-negotiables. Now, I don't want us to feel like when we're taking care of self and our relationships that somehow I'm suggesting that we become very hard-nosed, right? Or that we're going to bully others. This the way I need it to be. This the way I want it. I'm not suggesting that at all, right? Because I don't want us to be totally insensitive to the other. We're in relationship to what? Another. So yes, I have value, I have meaning, I have worth, and I need to be able to share and express myself with you. But that does not mean that I'm going to dump all of what I need and want on you and expect you to just do everything without what having it be reciprocal. And having an understanding that I'm expressing and I'm trying to share. But I'm not going to say this is, because we can get carried away, well, this is my negotiable and this is my non-negotiable, when it really could be negotiable. You know, you just want to get your way. I'm not talking about that because you have to be clear enough to know that if you're coming from a healthy place, you want to make sure that you're able to compromise. Because if you're in a relationship, the one thing you're going to have to do is what? Compromise. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. It's a dictatorship. You do what I say and that's it. So, but if you're in a relationship, you're going to have to compromise. The trick is to make sure that when you compromise, that you don't feel compromised. You understand the difference? When you compromise, you don't want to find yourself that if you decide to compromise, that you would compromise your own well-being. That's not healthy either. So you got to be careful. Am I compromising for the good of the relationship and the good of myself? Or am I compromising my values, compromising my principles, compromising my beliefs, compromising my well-being? That is not healthy either. So this is all about really getting in there and understanding who we are, setting boundaries reinforces your sense of self and your self-worth and your willingness to be in connection and relationship with others and the willingness to speak the truth to others. We always say we got to speak the truth in love. But if something is wrong and I am in relationship with you and I feel that what you're doing or saying or being or how you're showing up or acting is actually harming me or others or whatever, I must speak my truth in that situation, right? I must be aware of my boundaries and my own self-worth and my own sense of respect for what my needs are and what my limits are. So this is, you know, a power, it's something for us to consider so that we function well in the world, but also recognizing that we are allowing ourselves to be whole and well and holy and good and, you know, righteous, but also allowing others to be the same and to have that same experience. Having boundaries can keep you from being manipulated and keep you from unhealthy dynamics and relationships where you can promote safety for yourself as you interact with others. You know, this was a hard part for me. I have a family member who I love, but my family member has some mental health issues. They are homeless, and there's something in their spirit that they find me. They gravitate toward me because they know I'm going to try to do what? My best to help them. And I have done that, but I've also done that to my own detriment. That my other family members say, nope, you need to just cut that off. They're coming because they know that you're going to be the one that's going to do it. And you're being manipulated. Well, it's still a human being. So if a human being comes to my house that is my relative and tells me they're hungry, I'm going to do what? Feed them. But guess what? I don't have to bring you in my house to feed you. I'm going to make sure you get some food, but I got to take care of my own protection and safety and well-being. So I'm going to make sure I'll take you to a restaurant. I'll give you some money for some food, or I'll give you some food if you need that. But I'm learning now that I just can't open up the doors of everything, that I have to set what? Boundaries. That I have to say, as much as it breaks my heart, there are times when I have to say, no, I will not do that. I cannot do that. Because that is for my own well-being and safety. So life, I'm saying all this because I want us to know it's not just black and white. I got a boundary. We have to weigh it all. But in the end, you have to make sure that your soul ends up being intact so that you can continue to do what you need to do. And when you find that you are able to set these boundaries, you're going to be more focused because you're not worried so much about out here, but you're getting clear on your own inner well-being, and it frees you up to have more energy to do the things that you need to do, that you want to be about. Instead of spending your energy all the way out here, bring some of that back, focus on self and what self needs, and concentrating on your goals and your dreams and your desires, and where you can, yes, to lift others up, yes, to include others, but you must have this sense of self very strongly developed, or else you're going to just be you'll wither away, chipped away. Life will beat you down. So we're learning to stand up for self and with self, and that as I stand up for myself, I can stand up for others. If I have set boundaries, I'm less stressed. I'm less overwhelmed. You know, I'm filled less with anxiety because I'm clear. I'm clear on what I need, where I'm going, how I'm going to interact. I'm clear. And the clearer you become, the less stressful life becomes. I know, you know what? No, I'm not going down that road. I won't stand for this. You're making choices for yourself, conscious choices for yourself, for the highest good of all concern. But you are what? Part of the all concern. You're starting with self. And this is really important for us to understand. The oracle at Delphi said, do you know what the oracle at Delphi said? Who? Somebody knows what the oracle of Delphi. You had this in philosophy in college. says, know thyself. Know thyself. The oracle, I just did some research, was actually a priestess who was under the god Apollo. And this priestess, she would, the oracle, she was an oracle, and she would give these prophecies and these sayings, but she would never give them like a complete saying. She would always give them that would call, in a way that would cause the people to have to reflect on what it meant. You know, she didn't just give the answer, okay, go left and go right and you'll do this. No, she just would say, know thyself. So the person has to do what? Well, what does that mean? And they begin to do what? Know themselves. Or as Jesus, the Christ, would put it, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Well, what is the truth for me? So that I can know it, and it can do what? Set me free. What is my truth? What are my values? What is binding me? Where do I need to be free? All of these things are so important. So what I wrote for down here is I put, you've got to stand up for yourself so you can stand for others when and if that time comes. You got to heal yourself so that you might, others might be healed. I want to be have a healing effect that when others are in my presence, they feel healed. I want to see myself so that when others are in my presence, they feel seen. I want to listen to myself so that when others are in my presence, they feel that I am listening to them. Amen. All of this takes place within. And I put, setting boundaries sets you up for limitless freedom. That sounds ironic, doesn't it? Like a non sequitur. Setting boundaries for yourself sets you up for limitless freedom. And it does. It does, and we all want to be free within ourselves. I honor myself so that I can honor you. We affirm namaste all the time as a closing, right? Namaste. It's a Hindu blessing that says, you know, the Christ in me sees the Christ in you. The divine in me sees and honors the divine in you. But I've got to what? See it in me. Know it in me. And then I'm able to see it in you. And this is what we're being called for each and every day. We want to lead from the highest place within ourselves. And when I touch the highest within me, I can bring you along. I can serve you. I can love you because I love myself. And I'm serving what? Also myself. So this is a task for all of us during this time. And we might have to stand up, speak up, stand down, whatever, but get in touch with who you are and what's important. Will you stand up or will you stand by or will you stand down or will you be 10 toes down? Get clear because the day is here. We are the light of the world and we need to shine, shine, shine. Namaste and blessings. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.